say like your favorite manager in the whole world stumbled across your Instagram profile, you don't want to blow that, right? You don't want to, like, that would just be ridiculous. And you never know who is watching. I told you, like, I've got people in the background of my, like, I know that I've got people watching my band and I can see who's watching my stories. I can see, like, bigger artists or like people in the music industry. I know who they are and I know that they're watching my stories and keeping an eye on me.
Yep.
But that's just because I can see who watches my stories, right? You don't know who is like scrolling on your you know, your socials or has stumbled across you on Spotify, who can really make a fucking difference to your career. So yeah, don't blow it.
Welcome to the Being in a Band podcast. I'm your host, Monica Strutt, and I'll be your new band bestie as we deep dive into all things music marketing, branding, PR and release strategy, as well as the mindset it takes to succeed in today's modern music industry. I know the highs and lows of being a musician, and I've seen far too many of my talented peers give up on their dreams far too early in their careers. After working for years as a musician, professional digital marketer, and music journalist, I now help emerging bands break through the glass ceiling and reach the next level in their careers. Let's do this. Hey, 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 welcome back to the Being in a Band podcast. Today I'm bringing to you part two of my chat with Curtis Dewar of Dewar PR. We always have the best conversations, and in this one, we finish up our talk about coaching and how much your band should be investing in coaching, specifically, you know, my pricing. But we also talk about trains. There was a train. Anyway, we also talk about PR and how to DIY your PR campaign, which seems to be a topic that we talk about a lot when we get together, and there's always new and different golden nuggets that come out in those conversations. And what I particularly like about this half of our chat was my rant about how important the visual components of your band's branding are. So you will hear me tirade. You just heard a snippet in the beginning about how people will see you 99% of the time before they hear you, and just why your band's visuals are incredibly, incredibly important. So before we dive in, as you would have heard, I do have spaces open right now within my 6-month mentorship. There is only 3 more places left until 2022 to work with me long term. I am so keen to work with you if music is all you want to do with your life. If you're a band that by next year wants to be touring nationally or even internationally, all going well with the COVID vaccines, wants to be signed to management, booking agencies, or labels, or if you want to grow your audience significantly and start making hectic waves within your scene, then I want to work with you. I'm going to mentor you through your band and how to treat your band as a business, how to be self-managed until the right manager comes along, and even so, how to really make sure that your shit is taken care of in terms of your marketing, your ads, your PR, and everything like that, so your manager can actually focus on growing you and not doing all the little things and not babysitting you if you don't know how to manage socials or how to, you know, craft a proper release strategy. I'm teaching you stuff that you'll utilize for life. My goal is to teach a band to fish, so I want you to be able to rinse and repeat what we work on together forevermore. That's why I'm not a manager. I want to send you off to be self-sufficient and to be, you know, completely confident in your direction, help you work as a team, and also work on your mindset so that you don't self-sabotage when those bigger opportunities come along. If you're interested, hit me up at contact@monicastrutt.com. As I said, this is the last chance to work with me for the entire year, so I'm going to be really picky about those bands that I take on board because we will be together for 6 months, and yeah, it's going to be really, really fun, starting with a brand new band this week. In fact, yesterday I just started with a brand new band. Next week I'm starting with another one, so
We have 3 more spots open. You can start anytime this month or June. I would love to hear from you. Head to monicastrutt.com for more info or send me an email, contact@monicastrutt.com. We'll jump on a Zoom call, chat further as to exactly what you want to get out of it and whether you are right to work with me. I'm right to work with you. But without further ado, here is the second half of my chat with Curtis Dua from Dua PR.
So, okay, so now how much would a band, not necessarily for you, but like how much should a band kind of budget if they wanted to get coaching in general? I'm not asking you don't want to, I'm just saying a rough.
You can look at my prices on my website. So currently I'm charging $467 a month. My prices are going up in June. And the reason for that is I haven't raised my prices in a little while. And also from what I've been like delivering and the results that I've been getting for my clients, it just is more in alignment with increasing my prices slightly. Yeah. Plus, I think that my band's next couple of releases are going to do really, really well. So that's going to give me the social proof and the authority to, to back those prices. But currently, it's around like, it's like $600 Australian per month. There is a slight discount if you pay in full, but I actually prefer, and barely anyone pays in full because bands, you know, we all have so much to pay for. I actually prefer payment plans because as an entrepreneur, it allows me to profit plan my upcoming like quarter and everything. So I love payment plans, like as a consumer and as a coach.
I can sometimes like them, sometimes I don't. But I mean, yeah, I know what you mean. Because some months it's like, whoo, and the next month, and then you don't know. So, I get it completely. Okay, so we talked about costs. So next thing I want to go over is you as a journalist, not as a musician. You're not really doing a ton of journalism right now. But I mean, you do, but that's kind of like how you got your start. So can you briefly, I just kind of want to go over just briefly how you think a band should approach a journalist if they want to get coverage somewhere, like specifically like Heavy or something like that, since that's where you wrote or write.
Yeah, absolutely. So the way that you approach any publication is by sending a press release, which is like a combination of your bio written like a news announcement and like what you're putting out. It's mainly centered around like the single or the video or whatever it is that you're putting out. Yeah. But you'll have like it's like a bio, but it's more like news, has like photos, has, links to where reviewers can like download the album or whatever it is that you're promoting. So you'll send a press release out to the particular journalist or the email address provided by the publication. Don't send Facebook DMs. It's really annoying. Unless it's like a really small blog. Unless it's a really small blog, I find that that's like not really effective because most publications have a separate social media manager who doesn't necessarily control editorial. Go more formal, go email. And the most important thing aside from having a professional press release is making sure that you're reaching out to press like way before the actual release comes out. So if it's a single, like at least 4 weeks, if it's like an EP or album, I don't know, you probably have a better knowledge of like the guidelines, but I would say like 2-3 months.
Yeah, 2 months. And totally flirt with the journalist that you're trying to get a hold of, right?
Yeah, try and woo them on Twitter.
Well, Corey was actually mentioning this the other day on a podcast. She was saying that it was like 80% of the time, it's like try to flirt and just you're out. Never again type of thing. But anyways, so next.
I thought you were being sarcastic, but yeah, absolutely. Like, don't slide up into my DMs and be like, you look really pretty. Like, I'm just going to block you.
Yeah, apparently this happens a lot. This is why I brought it up. So I'm kind of surprised, but that's hilarious to me. But okay, so the next thing. So they got your attention. So you're a journalist. So now how do they get you to write about them after you've seen the EPK, they've gotten in touch, they haven't been annoying, they haven't flirted at you, they haven't done anything stupid. So what's the next step to get Monica or another writer to write about them?
Yeah, and by the way, Tim, I really like your questions and I'm definitely going to answer them at the end. So the next step, I guess it really comes down to the music. Honestly, it's like, is your music good? Like, is your branding congruent with the quality of the production as well? Like, it can be the best song, best produced song in the world, but like, honestly, if your photo's shit, like, that's just going to bring the whole aesthetic of the web, the website down, and we're probably not going to publish something on you. We'll probably choose another band which has just as good a music, but like a cooler, better photo. And that purely comes down to the fact that, we have to get traffic on the website as well. So like, we want people to be clicking on the articles. It's just, I don't know, I feel like it's just common sense. So making sure that you have all your ducks in a row. And also something I wanted to mention is, also capitalizing on the success of like your previous release by not waiting too long to drop something else, particularly when singles are happening. So if your single's like blowing up, it's getting, you've got like 50,000, 100,000 streams, it keeps going up and up. You don't want to wait 3 months to release something else. Like, you ideally want to be dropping something 6 to 8 weeks afterwards, like, to capitalize on that, because you're obviously buzzing. And it's kind of like a wave graph. Like, when you're up, you want to give it a boost when it's like on the rise, and like, so it keeps boosting. Otherwise, if you wait too much time, it's just going to go, and then it's going to be harder for you to climb up to the point that you were at.
Yeah, it's because you always want to stay at the top of mind, because there's so many bands out there. Okay, so now moving right along from you as a journalist. So next thing I want to cover, I only want to keep you for another 10 minutes. I know you're probably suffering right now. You look like you're about ready to sneeze sometime.
Feeling better.
Okay, maybe I'm reading too much into things then.
I'm really tired. I went out to a show last night, so my cat woke me up really early as well.
Sneeze, though. I was like, oh no. Okay, so basically I want to talk about the podcast for a few minutes. So you run a podcast, or not run, you have a podcast on top of everything else you do. So what is the purpose of your podcast, and how does this kind of benefit getting customers for you as a coach, or does it?
So it's absolutely a benefit. So obviously I don't get paid for the podcast. It's an educational resource. However, another reason, apart from just, I just find it easier to create content via speaking rather than, even though I love writing, that's my favorite medium. I can get a lot more out in a minute of talking than I can like a whole article. But I started off as a blogger. So educational resource is like the main thing, but secondary to that is building know, like, and trust with my audience. So if someone's thinking about working with me, or just say like, just so your vocalist or your guitarist has been like following me for a while and following my socials, watching my journey for the past couple of years, seeing what my band's done, what my clients have done. But you want to like sell my services to your band, you can just give your bandmates my podcast, and then they can see that I actually know my shit, and that it's worth investing money, because I'm actually going to be able to get you to the next stage of your career. So it's really like, first and foremost, it is an educational resource. I absolutely do not, like, I don't get paid for it. I do have an affiliate with Bandzoogle now, which is so exciting. So if you sign up through my link, I get like a small commission. I'm like so over the moon about that. I'm like, I'm official now.
So you don't get paid for the podcast. It is kind of like an advertising thing. I want to hear why you personally, though, then have guests on your podcast sometimes. Like, is that for you yourself to learn, or is that like, give me some insight on why Monica Strutt would want to have guests on her podcast?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. The first is like, I feel like just listening to me talk would be quite boring. Like, if that was like 100% of what it is.
Fair. Okay, fine. Fair.
Secondly, I'm able to get guests on to talk to my audience about areas of expertise that I don't have. So, for example, I had, Danny Bazzi from Silverback Touring talking about the touring industry, how tours come about, like what is the process of him bringing out, a band like Atreyu to Australia? What is that process like? What negotiations take place, and how does he select the supports that go onto that tour? See, I'm not a tour promoter, so I can't really talk about that. I have like general knowledge, but hearing it straight from the horse's mouth is going to be the third reason. So aside from like being more interesting, not just hearing me talk and like sharing knowledge from a different section of the music industry, because I'm not going to pretend to know about something that I don't know about. It's just going to be, I mean, people can tell. The third reason is my own selfish reason, which is I want to learn myself about different assets of different subsectors of the music industry. And I also want to network for my band and for myself. So I fully am transparent about my own selfish reasons, which I feel like, yeah, that's like a nice bonus.
I'm kind of doing the same thing with the guests on the C Squared podcast. It's kind of like you're picking and choosing the exact people that you want to have to learn from certain areas, while still giving other people publicity, obviously, too, at the same time, right? Okay, yeah. So other than anything else you want to say about the podcast before I move on to our final topic? No?
Not really.
Okay, so I just want to briefly go over visuals with you, because you are you're like a visual Nazi pretty much when it comes to bands, it seems like. So can you kind of go over why? Because most bands don't care that much about the visuals, but you stress them completely, I noticed, almost to the point where it's as equal as the music, it seems to me. Is that correct? Can you kind of go over that a bit? Because a lot of bands will be like, doesn't matter, it's the music needs to do the talking. I just want to hear your viewpoint on this, because this is interesting. Most people don't have this.
Yeah, well, if you think about the ways that people can possibly discover you, we've got radio, we've got Spotify, we've got social media, we've got in press, and we've got live.
Yeah.
So every single 4 out of 5 of those, everything except radio, and there's other ones as well, like let's just say on like a video clip program, like just, I don't know if MTV, I don't know what your thing is. We have Rage here in Australia.
Yeah.
But every single one of those, except for radio, people are going to have some sort of visual aspect. If they don't, they probably see the visuals first. If not, they're looking at the visuals at the same time. So even when you have streaming on Spotify, you've got the album artwork that's accompanying that particular song that you're listening to. Mm-hmm. And so if people want to dive deeper, they're probably going to click on your Spotify profile, which again has, you know, your profile picture, your background image, your bio, everything like that. So most of the time people will see you before they hear you. So it's about making a split second first impression. If you're going for a job interview, you would not turn up in your pajamas. You would turn up like someone who is right for the job, right? So, yeah. If you want to be treated, if you want to be, I mean, unless it's a Zoom call and you're wearing pajamas on the bottom.
Yeah, I do that. But anyways, yes. Go ahead. What were you saying?
You know, but from the neck up, you look presentable-ish, right? I'm wearing pajamas right now, but I've just changed my top.
Oh, cool.
So it's about making that first impression, because I find that first impression, it's going to convert people to actually click and follow your social media accounts.
Yep.
And convert people from a cold audience to a warm audience and start developing that relationship with you. Or if it's someone from the industry and, you know, just say like your favorite manager in the whole world stumbled across your Instagram profile, you don't want to blow that, right? You don't want to, like, that would just be ridiculous. And you never know who is watching. I told you, like, I've got people in the background of my, like, I know that I've got people watching my band and I can see who's watching my stories. I can see, like, bigger artists or like people in the music industry. I know who they are and I know that they're watching my stories and keeping an eye on me.
Yep.
But that's just because I can see who watches my stories, right? You don't know who is like scrolling on your you know, your socials or has stumbled across you on Spotify, who can really make a fucking difference to your career.
Yep.
So yeah, don't blow it.
Yeah, no, and that's true, because I've actually had people get in contact with me that have been, you know, fairly well known that I never knew that they were watching my socials, but apparently, you know, they've listened to Dumb and Dumbest, or, you know, they've seen my tweets or, you know, something like that. So you're 100% right on that. So I only want to keep you for a couple more minutes, but I got seriously one last more question on this visual thing, if you're able to, which is basically, Anything else you want to go over on visuals, actually, before I go on?
So I was talking about this with my Being in a Band membership people last night. We did a masterclass on profit planning and launching. So I went through a four-step process of how to launch anything from merch to music to whatever. It's the same four-step process. And when I was talking about profit planning, in my little graph that I had, I showed you how to make a profit with things like merch and, you know, figuring out like the cost per unit, how much you need to sell it for to make a profit. Mm-hmm. But then when I added up the costs of creating something like a single, which can be like over $5,000, like when it comes to like video clip, marketing, mm-hmm. like recording. Mm-hmm. And then if you look at like the Spotify streams, what Spotify pays out, you need like 1 million streams to actually make that back.
Yep.
So what I was saying is like a lot of bands in an effort to try and save money at the start, they skimp on things like a video clip, proper video clip. They skimp on things like professional photos because they're so scared to invest because they're not sure if they're going to see the long-term results.
Yeah.
This is like any business. A lot of bands skimp on the front end, as Tim just put it, early on in their careers in an effort to save money. But what they're actually doing is they are pushing back the prospects of them making money sooner because they're actually self-sabotaging that first impression and self-sabotaging the professionality. So I think this is a mindset thing rather than a practical thing. If you believe enough, like in your art, and you know that there's like 100% nothing else that you want to do in your life, you don't give a fuck. Like, I didn't give a fuck how much money I invest in my band because I know that one day it's going to pay off, and it's paying off like probably sooner than I'm going to think. So it's like getting your mind around it and deciding like how serious are you? And ultimately, even if I don't make a profit from anything, like I love doing all the stuff. Like I love doing having like cool art to go with like my music and everything.
I like it too.
Before we continue on, I'm so excited because today's episode is sponsored by Bandzoogle. Built by musicians for musicians, Bandzoogle is an all-in-one platform that makes it super easy to build a beautiful website and EPK for your music. All the features you need for a professional website are already built in, including hosting and custom domain name, dozens of fully customizable design templates, and let me tell you, they look super modern and fresh, tools to sell your music and merch commission-free crowdfunding and fan subscription features, mailing list tools to grow your fan list and send newsletters, social media integrations, and live support from their musician-friendly team 7 days a week. Being in a Band podcast listeners can go to bandzoogle.com, that's bandzoogle.com, and try it free for 30 days and use the promo code Being in a Band, all one word, to get 15% off the first year of any subscription. That's bandzoogle.com with promo code Being in a Band, and I've left it linked below.
Okay, so let's get to questions just in case we have another a bomb out here. So let's go back to the beginning. There's a few comments. I don't know if there were questions or just comments. There is a question about my FNAF poster from Tim. It's my son's. My FNAF poster. I have a FNAF poster back there, Five Nights at Freddy's, but it's my son's. I'm in my son's room because the kids are downstairs playing. So Tim says, how much strategy and planning do you involve in your coaching?
Yeah, so it's actually mostly strategy and planning. Mm-hmm. That is like pretty much like 80 to 90% of what I help with. And then the mindset stuff kind of gets woven around as things come up. So as an example, I had one client who's like having a health scare at the moment. And he's saying, like, I'll catch up, like, on your masterclasses or whatever as soon as I can. And I'm like, hang on a second. If you don't slow down right now, you're going to burn out. And burnout's, like, a really common thing. I was like, if you don't, like, slow down right now, you're actually going to be pushing back things even further. So take the break now. Otherwise it's actually going to be detrimental in the long run. So it is, but it is not like 90% strategy and planning.
You and I will fight one of these days over burnout, because I don't believe in burnout. So
all I'm going to say is like, yeah. All I'm going to say is like, everyone's their own unique individual person. And I fucking believe you when you say you don't burn out. I fucking believe you. But you are like some weird superhuman thing.
I really don't. I don't understand it. But anyways, I'm not going to get into it because other people are going to get mad at me, so I won't say anything. Yeah. So Tim says, what are the benefits to a coaching program in a post-COVID recovery environment based on a large investment of the price of cutting an album? So Tim is basically saying, is it worth it for us to buy coaching even though it might cut into the cost of investing in an album?
Okay. So when I was doing the profit plan last night, it takes selling 700 vinyls to even make a profit on an album. And that's like a pretty cheap album that costs like 10 grand to make.
Yep.
So it's like you have to ask yourself, like, who are you selling the album to?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you have an audience? Like, do you actually have an audience though? Because if you've got like, say, 1,000 followers on Facebook, how many of those are actually engaged? Like, you're going to have, like, friends, you're going to have your family, you're going to have people in the scene, but are they actually fans? Probably not. So unless you build that foundation and, like, there's literally no point recording. And like, I mean, like, obviously I don't know, like, your band or anything, but, like I've had so many bands, like, come to me and be like, oh, we just can't afford to hire you because we just spent all our money on the album. Well, mm-hmm. It's like you've just poured your money down the drain if you've got no money for promotion, like to promote the album so people actually hear it. So it's about, I guess, like weighing it up. I never recommend that bands even record albums. I'm like, record an EP. It costs you half the price and yep. You'll get just the same amount of mileage from it. And automatically I've saved them probably $5,000 and yep. Then they have extra cash flow to invest in me and to invest in their marketing.
Okay, that's pretty smart. And then Todd says, Monica's right, to really have an impact, it definitely helps to have a as powerful an aesthetic and look, image as the music. Combination of the power, too many bands underestimate the powers of visuals and image. And let's just see. Todd also says, agree with the skimping. Tim says, agree. Okay, so Tim now says, my question was more geared around ROI and the slower rate of recovering money because of COVID. I'm crushed that you don't know my band, he says. Tim, come on.
Oh, I'm sorry, Tim.
Come on, Tim. Come on.
You have to link me afterwards. Send me a DM afterwards.
Afterwards, Tim. This is rude. Anyways, sorry. I'm defending you, Monica. Anyway.
Thank you. So, like, there's four ways to grow your band. There's live shows,
mm-hmm.
PR, marketing, word of mouth.
Yep.
That is it. Only one of those ways requires a COVID-free life, right?
Yep.
So a lot of, like, the issue is a lot of bands overplay and then they burn out their audience and then they get no one turning up to their shows because they're playing too often. So you need to have all four elements of your live shows, your PR, your marketing, your word of mouth. They all work for you, but 100% you don't need to be playing live shows in order to grow your audience. Like, we have social media, we've got the internet. Like, if you're playing a show and you're pulling like 50 people and it's 50 people that have never seen you before, they're not just like your friends and family. The 2-3% rule means that you're going to convert 2-3% over to actually becoming customers of yours, buy your merch. So you might get like, let's just say, just to make it easier, you got 100 people at a show, you're going to convert like, let's just be generous and say 5 people convert to being hardcore fans after that, buy your merch and everything like that. So that's like a lot of effort, a lot of money spent on rehearsals or driving for a 100-person show to convert 5 people, whereas you can throw an ad like on behind your video clip on YouTube and you can reach people all over the world who directly would be interested in your music. And I'm like in a band, so I know how important live shows are to like just our quality of life. Okay, my boyfriend seems to be having hay fever as well.
Nice. Nice. Remind me when we get off to tell you this stuff works. Remind me when we get off.
Yeah. Oh. So it like And it's like, and Tim's not the only one. Like, so many bands like are so worried about live shows, and it is like a shame, and live shows are very important, but there also has to be a reason that you're playing the live shows. You should never even play live unless it's to promote a release or if it's to get you more exposure, either by supporting a bigger band or playing a different city at a venue where people are actually going to turn up. So you've got to be strategic with your live shows as well. But we have the internet. Like, don't worry about it. There's plenty of ways.
Cool. Okay, Kim, I was just giving you shit. I don't really care what you do, but please don't DM Monica the album. But anyways, I was going to say, so Todd mentions something. I don't know if you know Todd, but Todd runs Ripple Music, and he mentions that.
Oh, hey, Todd.
But he mentions that for a label, it's a bit different with an EP because the real the cost is, hold on, costs the same amount to press vinyl for an album as for an EP, but retail cost is a fraction. So self-released, he agrees, but not for a label that deals with wholesale. So just commenting there.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. You may basically deal with independents as a general rule anyway. So it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we have any other questions. It looks like Todd just said great stuff. Thanks, Todd. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Anything else you want to cover, Monica, before we end off?
Well, I mean, like, as I said, I just happen to have like three coaches at the moment. And for me, like, just being on the other side of coaching by, you know, different individuals. It's really nice, and I don't know if you've worked with coaches before, Curtis, but when you work for yourself, and I don't know if like, I think Todd works in a team as well, so he might not actually have this problem, but when you work for yourself, sometimes your days and like the highs and lows all kind of blur into this one monotonous emotion, and you get like a win, you know, you get a client that you're really excited about, or you know, make a new income goal, or, you know, one of your clients is just kicking goals and you're just so happy for them, and there's no one to celebrate with. You can tell your partner, they don't really understand. So having an all, when you're dealing with like a difficult you know, a troll online, it's really nice to just have someone to go to be there for you and to like celebrate those ups and downs. And for me, yes, I've learned a ton of strategy from my coaches, but actually, like, what I've gotten personally out of it is just that human connection and someone to support you on this journey, especially in an industry that can be really brutal at times. So whilst the strategy and planning is super important, for me, I just wanted to add like my personal opinion on what I've gotten out of coaching, because it's been fantastic in that way.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you coming on, Monica. I do want to have you on the C-Squared podcast at some point, so I'm going to have to message you afterwards, and with the allergy stuff right afterwards, to a date with you. But so also one last thing I also want to say is people should listen to your podcast. They can find it on Spotify. Do you have two now? You have only the one, right? You've got two or one? Two podcasts? One podcast.
Yeah, I've got... Being in a Band, which is my podcast.
Yeah.
And I also have a weekly segment on the Daily Music Business podcast.
That's what I was thinking of. Go check her podcast out on Spotify, the one on Jabberjaw, and the other one, Being in a Band. They're both really good. And how do people find you on the web?
Yeah. So you can just head to monicastrutt.com and you'll find everything there. I'm Monica Strutt everywhere.
Cool.
Hell yeah. For the consistency of handles.
Cool.
So yeah, just come like send me a DM if you're struggling with something in particular to do with your band, I'd be happy to like send you a podcast episode that directly relates to that if you want.
Cool. And last question is, are you currently accepting clients?
Yes, cool. I've got room for two more starting next month, possibly. And then I'm raising my prices and only doing 6-month programs. So, yeah, I'm going to be offering the 3 months for a couple more months, and that's it.
Okay, cool. So hit Monica up if you need coaching because she's raising her prices, and go to monicastrutt.com to find everything about her. Thank you, Monica. I will talk to you later.
Thanks for listening to the Being in a Band podcast. If you liked this episode, please hit that subscribe button so you never miss an upload. And if you really liked the episode, make sure you leave me a 5-star review. If you aren't a member already, come and join my free Facebook group, Music Marketing and Mindset for Heavy Bands and Musicians. It's a business savvy community of musicians just like you. If you want to work together, all the details are available at monicastrutt.com, and I'll catch you next time. Bye.